England regaining the Ashes. Who then has been the hero this time round?
Well, I think these are Andrew Strauss's Ashes, really. England came to the Oval in a very unpromising position. They were really annihilated at Headingley, lost that match by an innings and 80 runs. And Strauss really had to get the team back together, I think, and to persuade them that the, you know, damage inflicted in Leeds wasn't going to be terminal at the Oval. And his leadership has been marvellous, really. I think he's, you know, he's distinguished himself as a captain and a batsman in this series. And really, I think all the honours go to him.
Now, it was a weaker Australian side than back in 2005. But just how big an achievement is this for English cricket?
Well, I'm just speculating, really, that in 2005, England's talent won them the Ashes to a large degree. This time, I think Australia's comparative mediocrity has played its part. It's a team full of promoted understudies who haven't quite delivered, even though Australia scored 8 test centuries to England's 2 in this series. When it came to it, when Australia only needed to draw at the Oval, they weren't able to close the deal. And I think a lot of attention will be focused on Ponting, and Ponting will probably take the blame. But actually, this Australian side, I think, wasn't as good as they tried to persuade us that it was. On the other hand, England at the Oval, I think, have produced one of the great comebacks, really, given the scale of the task in front of them after Headingley.
So do you think this could be the end of Australia's dominance in Test cricket?
Well, it certainly looks that way. They recovered over the winter against South Africa, and they seem to be, you know, forming a new generation of players, and they certainly talked them up. The likes of Phil Hughes and Mitchell Johnson were going to take over from, you know, Glenn McGrath and Justin Langer and those guys, but it hasn't really happened in this series. And I think some of the players have fallen short. They can be pleased with the efforts of Marcus North, obviously. Hilfenhaus and Siddle have bowled pretty well. Mitchell Johnson recovered from a mid-series wobble, and Michael Clarke batted very well again in the middle of the series. But when it came to it at the end, they were unable really to secure a draw to retain the Ashes, and that reflects pretty badly on an Australian side.
And for England, Andrew Flintoff bowing out, how much are the team going to miss him?
Well, I don't think they'll miss him much at all, actually. His contribution in this series was a rampage from the pavilion end at Lords, which was I think decisive in England winning that Lords test. Since then, he's been playing on one leg pretty much. The decision to leave him out at Headingley, I think, was fully vindicated by the way he played at the Oval. His contribution in this series has been sporadic, and an echo really of his great role in 2005. So, with Stuart Broad's emergence, with 6 wickets at Headingley and a great 5 for here at the Oval, I think that England have moved on now, and they found a player to replace Flintoff. It didn't take them very long, did it? Flintoff wasn't even off the field before attention switched to Stuart Broad, and people started to feel that England have found new talent. Jonathan Trott, the batsman, is another one. He looks a certainty for the middle order for the winter. And really, you wouldn't have put much money on England being in this position after 5 tests, not only regaining the Ashes, but also finding fresh talent.